Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's Eagles 360 on this Wednesday at the NovaCare Complex. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. Great show for you today. Progress report on the new left tackle, Halapalavati Vaitai. We'll talk about him and the progress that he has to make to keep this offense humming as it is. Mike Quick and I will take our first look at the San Francisco 49ers. Doug Peterson joins me in studio in a bit here. And we want to get to the news of the day before we go to our first segment. Carson Wentz, NFC Offensive Player of the Week after that four-touchdown performance against the Washington Redskins on Monday night. A national unveiling, if you will, of the second-year quarterback. And the Eagles moving forward now for the rest of the season without Jason Peters at left tackle, without Jordan Hicks at the linebacker position in the middle of that defense. So we'll see how the Eagles react, losing two of their leaders and starters the rest of this season. But we want to begin the show today with a look back at Monday night. Offense was struggling for the first quarter and a half at Lincoln Financial Field until Carson Wentz stepped up in the pocket, went down the right side to a streaking Mac Hollins, a 64-yard touchdown play. It's the subject of our tape study with Ike Reese and quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo.
Wentz is back again. Wentz looking, still looking. He is going deep down the far side, and it is caught, and in for the touchdown goes Mac Hollins. Mac Hollins got loose on the far side, and Wentz threw it 64 yards.
Joining us again here in Tape Study is Eagles quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo. Coach, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Another big win.
Huge.
Certainly getting used to saying that and feel good about that.
Absolutely.
Well, the talk around the league and the city of Philadelphia is the play of your quarterback, Carson Wentz, and he had another good game, four touchdowns here. Now, talk about this play. This play comes after a big sack, sort of puts you behind the chains, but he's able to make something work here.
Well, the first thing we knew is a couple things. We knew the Redskins like to play what we call middle of the field open on second and long. So if there's a single safety middle here, we call that middle of the field closed. Middle of the field open means that there's two safeties. So we're calling this route for middle of the field open. So we knew on second and extra long, there was a good chance the Redskins were going to be middle of the field open. We have three types of reads for the quarterbacks. We have pure progression reads, which are literally no matter what the coverage is, 1 to 2 to 3. We have a single high, two high reads. Literally, we're reading one side of the field. If it's too high, another side of the field. If it's single safety middle. And then we have what we call levels throws, okay? Levels throws is an example of this play right here. We're going to have a man high, a man in the middle, and a man low. So what you're going to see right now is Mac Hollins work vertical with speed, okay, what we call a circle post. So he's going to run 15 yards, lean to the outside, and then the quarterback in a perfect world wants to throw him right on this near hash. Unless the corner's outside, then he's going to bring him down the field a little bit more. Alshon's going to get into the wake. When we say get into the wake, we mean get right into the wake of where Mac Hollins is, okay, and he's going to run a 12-yard corner. The key to this play is protection, okay? Protection, protection, protection whenever you're throwing the ball down the field. So you're going to see Trey Burton chip to the flat, okay? You're going to see running back here chip to the flat. And then just in case the quarterback doesn't like the ball down the field, we're going to have Zach Ertz running what we call a 12-yard basic cross right here. So again, we talked about a levels throw. We have a man high, we have a man in the middle, and we have a man low. We saw DJ Swearinger, again, ball stayed middle of the field open. DJ Swearinger, we're reading depth, width, and hips of that safety right here. He's getting deep. He's not getting width, okay, and his hips are towards the sideline. So if we say 2 out of 3, if he's not getting deep, if his hips are to the sideline or he's not getting any width, we're going to cut that ball loose to the deep ball right there.
And to trust a young fella like Mac Hollins to be able to get that down, that just shows his acumen in the game of football. Right.
Absolutely.
Now.
And as you can see, if you rewind it just for a second, you can see what I talk about in terms of levels throws. We have a man high, we have a man in the middle, and we have a man low. So high to low for the quarterback and his progression right there.
Clean pocket. You brought that up. Able to hit Mac Hollins right in stride. Great job with a young fella catching it there.
Time now for our one-on-one interview with head coach Doug Peterson, presented by Wawa. It's already Wednesday. This is just flying by here, Doug, and I know that the San Francisco 49ers are the focus. Let's talk first, if we could, before we get into the win on Monday, about the injuries and the mentality of this football team, having lost Sproles and Maragos, and for the foreseeable future here, Jason Peters and then, of course, Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, You know, it's tough. Obviously, those names you mentioned are leaders, had major roles, obviously, on this football team. You know, Jordan Hicks is an Achilles tear. We're going to miss him for the rest of the remainder of the season. You know, it's tough when you lose veteran players, guys that have impact roles, obviously, as starters on this football team. But you know what? This is a resilient group. It's always been the next man mentality. And that's what we expect going forward.
Specifically, next man at middle linebacker, how do you address that? Is it Joe and Najee a combination? Do you try to play with more defensive backs on the field? I mean, what kind of things can you do?
Well, there's quite a few things, actually. Joe Walker would be the first. I mean, he's the next guy, you know, that would play the Mike linebacker position. Najee Goods played in there. Nigel Bradham, you know, is a guy that's been moved around a little bit.
He took reps in the preseason, if I recall. Yeah,
preseason in there. You know, Michael Kendricks, so there's some moving parts there. You don't want to move too many guys, however, but we have options there. You can always, play a little more nickel or dime personnel. Malcolm could be potentially, down in the box a little bit more. He's comfortable down in there. Corey Graham can play some safety. So there's some options, as we move forward, something that Jim Schwartz and I will talk about and have a good plan going into this week.
You talked last week about developing these younger players and over the course of the time in the spring and the summer, giving them more reps, spending more time with them. Is that something you'd done last year that we just didn't talk about? Is it something that is new for this year?
We kind of began a little program at the end of last season, spending some time with our younger players after practice, and then we went ahead and implemented it the beginning of the season this year, where we're on Wednesdays and Fridays. We spend time with our developmental players, our younger players, and just give them about 10 extra minutes after practice to develop their skill, hone them in a little bit, not only offense or defense, but also on special teams, and just give them the opportunity to get a little more time, because you never know when their number is going to be called upon, and they're going to have to whether be activated off of the practice squad or just be active, on the 47, or 46 come game day. So something we've done all season long. It's benefited those guys, and it's obviously beneficial to the whole football team.
10 minutes a day can honestly make a difference.
When it's one-on-one like that and the numbers are small, yes, it can. 10 minutes, and they maximize those 10 minutes with their position coaches. But, yes, it can definitely make a difference, and you do that 20 minutes a week.
Doug, I know you felt great about the offensive line depth since the spring. It's being tested. How ready is Vitae? And then Isaac comes up. I guess you have to kind of cross-train him. And Dylan Gordon has to be in the mix as well. And then practice squad players as well.
Yeah, we got to look at the whole picture. You know, Big V obviously played a lot of football last year in Lane's departure before he was injured and missed some time at the end of the season. And he's played well when he's been in there this year. I think that learning experience from last year has really helped him and propelled him to be that role or swing tackle for us. And so we're very comfortable with Big V, very confident in his ability. Confident in Stout's ability to coach him up. And listen, the guys are going to rally around him. They're going to support him. They're going to encourage him and get him where he needs to be. And this is not a first-time rookie that's starting. He has played and started NFL games. So this is not new to Big V, and we have a lot of confidence in him.
I feel like this is a really interesting time for the organization. 6-1 record, and you're being really tested. So it requires, to move forward and win, it requires the personnel department to make the right moves. It requires the coaches to really coach up the players. It's incumbent upon the players to accept the responsibility of improving every day, of staying hungry. Fair reasoning in my mind?
No, it's fair. And that's what we talk about when it takes all aspects of the football operations. You know, it does take personnel. It does take coaching. It does take the players, the training staff, the strength conditioning staff, all those entities coming together to one, keep our players healthy and staying on the football field, the coaches to coach up every man, not just the starters or the role position guys. You got to coach up everybody. And then our personnel department to go and continue to find talent to bring in, to fill spots and to fill needs. And every team goes through this every single year. And it just so happens that we're right in the midst of it right now. But all the confidence in the world and the guys we have and continue to roll and move forward.
I know your focus is on the Niners, but what jumped out at you as you studied Monday night in the wee hours of Tuesday?
Just our resiliency again. You know, and
you love that word, don't you?
I love that word. I mean, I just think it's in the passion of the guys and the toughness of the team, and you know, the fact that they're playing together as units. And you know, family is a real word, and it's a real thing with this group of guys. They love playing together, and that's what you see. And it's always been the next man up mentality. You know, 6-1, we love where we're at. Obviously, a lot of football left, and we've got to just continue to you know, our foot's got to be on the gas pedal, and we just was, you know, full steam ahead.
I always wait for rookies to hit the wall. Matt Collins is scoring touchdowns. Derek Barnett's getting sacks. Corey Clement making these magnificent catches. The young guys are pushing the old guys.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you want, and that's why we spend time with our young players. And you know, our personnel staff does a great job leading into the draft, and some of the guys that we picked up, whether they're drafted or not. And you know, you need everybody this time of the year, and from now until the rest of the season, you're going to need, you know, we're going to need all the guys, all hands on deck. And it's great to see our young guys making plays, you know, offensively and defensively. Rasul Douglas has been another one in recent weeks to make some big plays. And so, you know, hey, we just keep them coming. It gives us an added element of depth. And, you know, we got to get ready for the Niners.
Did Carson play okay on Monday night?
It was all right.
Yeah. What's it like what's it like having that young stud?
Yeah. I mean, it's a special thing, and to watch it, you know, real time from the sidelines and some of the plays that he makes. He's elevating the game. He's elevating the guys around him too. And that's what's fun to watch, is the guys want to play for people like that, for quarterbacks like that. Not only as a leader on the team, but he's a leader off the field as well. And it's amazing to watch him. And he is full of plays. He's full of amazement. The way he prepares, we know this. The way he studies,
not slacking off on that at all.
He did not slack.
Not falling in love with himself.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. I mean, Carson is who he is, and he's so down to earth. He's humble, and you know, it's all about the team with him, and he just wants to win each week.
Last one, quickie on the Niners. Winless team, but very competitive.
Listen, very competitive. They've been in every football game except this last one, obviously. And listen, it's a dangerous football team, a team that doesn't have a win right now. I was a part of a group that went out to Oakland, and they didn't have a win a couple years ago, and we got our tails beat. So, you know, we have to guard against complacency, guard against a letdown. You know, it's another home game. Fans were awesome Monday
night. Yes, they were.
We expect the same atmosphere, you know, this Sunday. And we just got to go to work and get ready for a good opponent.
Thanks, Coach Doug Peterson, in studio, presented by Wawa. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Santander. Simply write checking from Santander Bank, the checking account that's convenient and gives you more control. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Visit one of our branches or santanderbank.com/simple to learn more and sign up today.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Now by the Pro Bowler and the Hall of Famer, our radio analyst and our friend Mike Quick joining me here on Eagles 360. Before we look ahead at the upcoming schedule here, Mike, the Eagles are 6-1. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's having a good time. It's indeed beautiful right now.
It is, absolutely. And, you know, this team, they're on a roll. Regardless of the injuries and things that they've suffered throughout the early part of the season, this is a very good football team, great coaching staff. And you have to admire, love the play of number 11. That Monday night game, they showed the entire country what they're made of.
Yeah, it was almost – we've seen it, and we've seen it all come together here. It's kind of a coming-out party for the rest of the country. Let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule, presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, for the only 100% way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFLTicketExchange.com, and that's the only 100% verified way to buy those tickets. All right, Mike, we got a game on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then it's Denver coming into town, and then it's a bye week. So really, we look at this season in segments, a two-week segment right here. At home, where the link has been rocking, the fans are into it, the city is electric.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I just look at the way Lincoln Financial Field went crazy on Monday night. And so now the fans have two more games at home to enjoy. And I think it's going to be electric. And it always is, especially now with this team on a roll. And as you said, everybody excited about this team at 6-1. And I do believe that that will continue over the next couple of weeks, the winning at the link.
Yeah, got to keep winning. And the next challenge, as you say, the next time to go 1-0 here is on Sunday. San Francisco comes to town. So let's take a look at the 49ers. Our first look presented by Whip Flea. And on paper, Mike, when you look at San Francisco, it is not impressive. They are winless. They've got a new coach. They've got questions up and down the lineup. You know, there aren't a lot of really recognizable names. There's no standout names, stars. But they've been competitive for the most part until they went to Dallas last week, or until they hosted Dallas last week.
Well, and you don't want that one win. I don't think this team is going to go 0-16 to 49ers, and you don't want that win to be in your house. So all teams in the National Football League, they have the ability to win a game. And the Eagles have to make sure that they're dotting their I's, they're crossing their T's, and they're not taking this team for granted. When they line up against the 49ers, they have to make sure that they're on point. And I think one of the things they have to get back to, Dave, is getting LeGarrette Blount into the game and establishing the run game once again.
So do you think that the Eagles, look, if you're Carson Wentz, you're standing up there, you're looking over the defense. If you see 7 in the box, you're going to run it.
Yes.
If you see 8 in the box, you're going to throw it.
Yes.
It's about matchups. Will teams try to stack the box here and take away the run and then go after Vitae at left tackle? I mean, what will defenses do now that they've seen this offense for 7 games and now that the Eagles have a major question mark, let's be honest, at left tackle?
Well, it's an interesting question, and I think teams will try and they will at least test Vitae and see how well he's going to hold up against their pressure packages and against them trying different ways to get at Carson Wentz. If he's able to hold up, then they have to try and find some other weak spot. It's always about breaking down protection, first of all, for defenses. And if they're able to break down the protection and using Vitae or attacking Vitae to break down the protection, then that's what they're going to do. If they have success, they'll keep at it. But if he's able to hold them off, or if Carson's able to make plays against that pressure, then it's a whole different story.
San Francisco, by the numbers, 28th in total defense, 393.1 yards per game allowed. 29th in rush defense, 134.5 yards a game.
Yeah.
25th in pass defense, 259 yards a game. There's not much going on that side of the ball for defensive coordinator Robert Saleh.
Well,
you know anything about it?
I don't. Yeah. And I don't know much about the way they run their defenses right now, but I can, looking at the numbers, there's not much there to hold, to put your hat on.
Yeah.
So,
and their best defensive player, Eric Armstead, out with an injury, so that really hampers what they can do up front.
Well, and when you look at it on paper, Dave, and you look at, of course, their record, you just have to say, okay, the Eagles are favored by a whole lot. But again, in the National Football League, I think anyone can win. So they have to still be on their game.
C.J. Beathard, I guess he's the grandson of Bobby Beathard. Is that what it is? Bobby Beathard, the longtime GM in the NFL, Washington Redskins, San Diego Chargers. C.J. Beathard is, I think you'd look at as a trial quarterback here for the 49ers who are going through their who are we phase under new head coach Kyle Shanahan. They've got a good wide receiver in Pierre Garçon. We know that he has hurt the Eagles in the past.
Yep.
C.J. Beathard is a scramble, not a big arm, young quarterback making his second career start here. You'd expect Jim Schwartz to find out about his defense without that big missing piece in the middle, Jordan Hicks.
I think without Jordan Hicks, they're in a quandary, but I think Jim Schwartz figured it out on the fly in the game on Monday night, and I think they'll figure it out. even if you bring Malcolm Jenkins down and he plays more like a linebacker in a lot of what they do, especially when they go 11 personnel, when they have three wide receivers on the field, when you're expecting them to throw the football and then they'll run the football, and that's kind of what I expect to see them do. But Malcolm Jenkins can get down in the box just like a linebacker and be as effective as a linebacker. And, oh, if they are going to throw the ball in those situations, he certainly can defend in the pass game.
So then you are counting on Corey Graham to play more at safety. Had a big interception the other night.
Yep.
And then it's also an opportunity for this Eagles defense, and specifically Michael Kendricks now,
yes,
to be a full – he's been looking for the opportunity. Yep. Now is the opportunity to be a full-time linebacker. How do you approach that, Michael? Are you healthy with the hamstring?
Yeah.
Big moment here for Michael Kendricks.
Well, and I think if you look back in the – there are a couple of games where you didn't have Jordan Hicks for a period of time. Nigel Branham, he filled in as the middle linebacker. He had the communicator in his helmet, so he's lining up everybody. He understands the defense. Remember, Nigel Branham was in Buffalo with Jim Schwartz,
right,
so he knows the defense. He's one of the guys that would help Jim Schwartz when he first came here to teach the defense to everybody. So if he's the guy that has to communicate it, if he's the guy that's lining everybody up, at least you start on the right page with everybody in their right position. Then it's just a matter of making plays, and Michael Kendricks should have a big opportunity now to be a bigger part of this defense.
Your thoughts, Mike, on Joe Walker, second-year linebacker, seventh-round draft pick last year, as his role increases also?
I think his role increased. I think in the run game, Joe Walker is going to be solid. Where he's going to have problems is when they put 11 personnel or multiple receivers on the field when he's got a drop in coverage. And I think a lot of linebackers, especially young linebackers, that's where they struggle.
So you're really, I guess, asking a lot. Jim Schwartz is going to have to be very astute, mixing and matching, recognizing personnel.
Yeah.
And matching up against that personnel.
But I think he's been really good at that. If you look over the games, the first seven games of this season, he's been really good at matching personnel. And probably the best thing that this defense has going for it is the ability up front for those guys, the down four guys, to break down protections and get to quarterbacks.
One final piece of information about the Niners and the Eagles as we look at this matchup. Really interesting statistic, which I think is so key in the NFL. Eagles converting over 50% of their third downs. That's best in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Niners giving up 49.5% of third downs defensively. That's 32nd in the NFL. So on paper, Mike, it looks great, but this is the NFL. And we'll see. Hey, if there's ever going to be a letdown game, this is the letdown game. And that would be really disappointing with what is at stake for the Eagles, the opportunity to keep amassing victories.
See, I don't think that it'll happen, the letdown, just because of the elder statesmen on this team, the older guys, the veterans who have been around for a long time, and the coaching staff, the way they approach each and every day and the way they go about their business. I don't anticipate a letdown at all.
Okay, that is our Whip Flea first look at the San Francisco 49ers, the opponent on Sunday. More to come here on Eagles 360. A little progress report. Eagles have a major question mark now at the left tackle position, whether they flip Lane Johnson over there, whether they leave second-year man Halapulavadi Vaitai. He's the subject of Mike and Ike's progress report when we return. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Rothman at Jefferson. Eagles High School Football Showdown, presented by the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, celebrates local high school football teams and coaches. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/showdown to vote for this week's Game of the Week.
There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there is AAA.
It's just three kids, right?
Since 1904, Philly's top sandwich pros and homemakers have always started the exact same way, with those legendary rolls baked fresh daily. Want to make the very best sandwiches? Always start with the very best sandwich rolls. Amoroso's.
Why Philly sandwiches are world famous at your favorite supermarkets and food stores.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher. Because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 triple play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
Every year, one in 68 children born in the U.S. has autism. In Philadelphia, that would overflow Lincoln Financial Field. To help them, we've created the Eagles Autism Challenge, a cycling, run, walk event to fund autism research. We bring the players, coaches, and fun. You bring your bicycle, your sneakers, your family, your heart. And together, let's advance autism research.
Dunkin' has lots of fall favorites to root for. Maple pecan, pumpkin, maple sugar bacon. But on game day, we root for one team. One team, baby. Win the fall, folks.
Well, the Eagles have a new look on the offensive line. It's critical that Halapalavati Vaitai, the second-year player from Texas Christian University, steps up and plays well, likely at the left tackle position, with Lane Johnson at right tackle. It could certainly flip. Wherever he plays, he's got to play well. He's seasoned after his rookie year. He's played quite a bit this season already. And Vaitai is the subject of our FanDuel Progress Report.
Mike, this week's Progress Report brings us to offensive tackle Halapalavati Vaitai. He's going to fill in this week for the injured Jason Peters. Let's take a look at the good and the bad of Big V. You know, when he comes in immediately for Jason Peters, he's got the second series that he's out there. You watch him here at the left tackle position. And let's run through what he does wrong here in this place.
Well, like, first of all, he's got some huge shoes to fill, filling in for the all-pro Jason Peters. Initially, I think Vaitai has to settle in. Once he starts to play and get comfortable, he plays pretty well. But early in the game, when he comes in, this is what you get. A little bit antsy, a little bit premature with that punch, and he overextends. The defender gets inside, makes a play on the running back. That's what he cannot do.
Yeah, when you get a play like that, you got to certainly know that you got to protect the inside part of this play. You watch him come back, and the Eagles make the adjustment over here, right? We're going to get he and Wisniewski sort of a tag block here on the end, and they do a much better job, right?
Much better job in the combination, he and Wiz working together. He passes off to Wiz on the inside. He takes the linebacker scraping over the top, and look how he reaches, tries to get to the outside shoulder, does a nice job of taking him down the line and giving Corey Clement somewhere to go with the football.
Yeah, you look here at Thursday night against the Panthers. He's out here for Lane Johnson. And this guy right here, he'll be wearing a gold jacket at some point when his career is over in the Hall of Fame. But you watch him on this first play, I think he does a nice job. He initiates the stab with the punch there, but you got to keep your feet moving against a guy like Peppers.
But, and again, a little bit early, he needs to allow Peppers to get a little bit closer so that punch is effective. That punch is not strong enough, so Peppers is able to break him down, break that right arm down, and get around him, ride the hump, exactly, and get pressure on Carson. Well, this ball should have been out, but he's able to get pressure and get a hit on Carson Wentz on that play. You go to the next play, and you see how well he gets that punch out. Moving his feet better, Ike, and allowing the defender to get a little bit closer to him. Watch that right hand when he shoots that right hand. And it just stalemates him. Boom, right there. And he's able to keep him off. Much better base.
Yeah, the base. That's what it is right there. It's that base.
Shuffling his feet. Much better base. Much more square to his target. And he's able to keep him off. He's got big shoes to fill. But once Big V settles in, you can see how well he can protect Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think that sort of antsiness at the beginning of the game is certainly something he's going to have to get out of his system before the game starts. You can tell when he settles down, he can be an effective tackle for us.
Thanks so much, guys. Now we have our Amorosos on the menu segment for you. What's ahead on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our official team app. We've got our Eagles Live podcast dropping on Thursday. I'm taking a little different approach, talking to some different players here about the state of the team, the mood of the locker room, and of course how the Eagles will fill in the wake of these major injuries, more injuries for the football team. Merrill Reese and Mike Quick in our old school All-22 take a look back at a 1994 game against the San Francisco 49ers. The Eagles put a whooping on the Niners that day, and a big defensive play helped key the victory. We'll take a look at that. And the Eagles game plan show, get you ready. X's and O's, hardcore stuff. Take a look at the Eagles and the Niners on Sunday. That is our Amorosos on the menu look at what's ahead. I'm Dave Spadaro. I want to thank you for joining us on Eagles 360. We've got you covered all the way through on Sunday when the San Francisco 49ers come to town. It's our pregame show, our kickoff show, presented by the Exalta. It's our, well, we call it the Exalta kickoff show. Let's get it right here. You know, the Exalta section, you know where it is? It's the first row. Mike Trout's in there, right behind that south end zone there. Great seats, great amenities for those folks there. Our Exalta kickoff show begins at 12:30. And then our post-game show presented by Rico, live from Lincoln Financial Field. And it will include live interviews from the locker room with Carson Wentz, from Doug Peterson, Eagles trying to keep the Niners winless and trying to win their sixth straight game of this 2017 season. Thanks so much for joining us on Eagles 360. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.